It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Les German. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Blessed and highly flavored with his favor.
There you go.
Thank you.
There you go.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'm not even going to lie. Miss Tina can get that posted shortly after the program has ended. I love you, Tina. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford, located here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I encourage you to reach out to Barber Dyson. They can find you what you're looking for, even if it's a red Dodge. Even if it is. They can search it out and find it for you. If you would like to be on the wheel for the blessing book for this month, all you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Yes, I will. Lord, we just thank you for this. I thank you, Lord, for the hour of power. I thank you, Lord, that it is powerful. Your word's going forth and people's lives are being transformed and changed, Lord. And I just thank you for Monica and Tina, Father, and their commitment, their willingness to come in every morning. And Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come and minister to us here in this room and also to the people that are listening. And Father, we just come against all attack of the enemy. We all pray in agreement, and we just simply say, Satan, you are dismissed. We break your power. We cancel your assignment because Luke 10:19, Jesus himself has given us all power over the enemy. So we take that power and we just say, Satan, you are evicted. You are evicted from our lives today. Lord, we ask you send angels, ministering angels, to us and to everyone that's listening, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, that we are your total focus of love and attention. And we just give you all praise, glory, and honor for what you're going to do this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, Identity and a Father's Blessing.
Yeah, I think they go hand in hand. John Eckhart writes a book, and in that, the title escapes me. Anyways, about raising boys, and he's right on, because here's the deal, daddies, listen, fathers establish the identity of the kids. So what does that mean? The little voice in their heads that tells them who they are comes from dads. Now, moms have a very important role, too. Don't get me wrong. But there's something about a father. When my kids were growing up, you know, Donna could try to discipline them and stuff. Well, sometimes a daddy's voice has got to be like a shotgun. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember one time I went, Daniel! That's like shh, that shotgun sound, you know, and got his attention. Donna could not get his attention because he's like 15 years old. You know what I'm saying? So our job is to the little voice in their heads needs to be telling them that they are valued, they are accepted, and they have a purpose in the Lord. AVP. Accepted, valued, and purposed in the Lord. Our job is to make them strong and confident in themselves and in their abilities to go out, because they're not at home but 18 years. And that, to me, in a life, that's pretty short. And, of course, the experts say that at age 5 or 6, their character is already established. So, again, that even shortens the time even more. So I guess my point is, our job is to not to be the kids' friend. We can do that when they're adults. Our job is to prepare them to be set the boundaries and to prepare them for the world that's going to try to chew them up and spit them out. And if we can help them establish God as the center part of their life, the glue that holds them together, then they'll be successful in many, many areas. So I just want to, let me tell you a real quick story. I may have mentioned this before, but I had some pretty good parents, real good parents. Were they perfect? No, they weren't perfect. But my dad, several times, I was playing football, right? So I pick up a fumble, and I'm running for the end zone. I'm going to score a touchdown. I come from a small town, Kansas, right? And all the men would follow the ball, right, up and down the field on the sidelines, right? So I'm running along the sidelines. Well, suddenly I hear my dad's voice. And I, out of the corner of my eye, I look over, and there he is running the same speed. He's running because his son is about to make a touchdown. And I'm thinking, what? How can that old man keep up with me? Are you kidding me? So I poured it on, but I'll never forget that he was running alongside of me, encouraging me and yelling at me. I was like, that sounds like my dad. And I look over, and sure enough, but that's a daddy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And one time on offense, I was running fullback, broke through the line, but the concession stand was at the far end of the field, okay? And every once in a while, the parents had to man and work the concession stand, right? Well, it's dark. And I'll never forget this. As I'm running into the end zone, my dad wasn't working the concession stand. He was watching the game. You know what I'm saying? And so the door opens up. I see the light from inside, and there's like a two-step down to the ground. Well, he jumped. He missed those two steps and jumped right to the ground and came and ran and met me in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a daddy, you know? So helping these kids grow up to be strong Christians and strong in themselves, we, for the most part, and again, we weren't perfect either, but we tried to find ways to encourage our kids instead of discipline. Because if you encourage a child, then there's less discipline needed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we always kind of looked at that. We wanted to bless and encourage and not always have to discipline. Because, anyway, so I last night, or actually about 1 o'clock this morning, I'm praying about this today, and the Lord just kind of impressed upon me that there's some people out there that did not have the daddy that I just described. Maybe didn't have a daddy at all. And I really feel, and it saddens my heart, that this country, this culture now, almost dismisses dads. So in my opinion, I'm just saying that I feel that a large part of this country is without fathers. A lot of families are without fathers. And so this fatherless nation is, first of all, there's no moral compass in place. Kids are raising themselves. That's not good. And there's just no moral absolutes anymore. And I get it. I know it's the enemy. I know Satan's running rampant. I know. But my point is, me personally, I wanted to do the best I could to be a daddy. And I failed. I worked a lot, was not always home, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. But for the most part, I kept that in mind that I needed to be there for the kids. And even now, as my kids are grown, they have their own families, but I had two very, very good conversations with my daughters last night. So I'm still part of their life. And one thing too, parents, listen to when your kids get out on their own. I've told my kids, when you call, I'm very honored that you call and ask my opinions on certain things that they're dealing with. We need to buy a car. We need, you know, some even simple things. But I'm just saying, I'm honored that they call to consult their daddy. And I've told my kids that I am perfectly fine if you don't use my advice. Because they're adults. They have their own lives. They have certain things that they're facing that I never had to face. So I get that. But I told them, I said, I am honored that you called to consult me, but I'm still good if you don't use my advice. But if you can just take it, if you need, take a nugget from what that, whatever. I'm just glad to be included, if that makes sense. And so, and still feel a need to be needed. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I can get way off on that one. But let me, what I think I want to do is, excuse me. In our Christian counseling, there was times that I remember several females just didn't have a dad or had an abusive dad. And they needed to forgive their dad for what they went through. And that is so difficult sometimes. I'd like to punch the dads in the face is what I'd like to do for what they did to their daughters. It's just insane. But nonetheless, the daughter's now wounded, has got to allow the Lord to help her heal, start the process of healing. And forgiveness is a big deal, I think. I know it is. Mm-hmm. The enemy wants us to believe that forgiveness is weakness. Absolutely not. In the spirit realm, it is strength. It is a spiritual weapon of God's army, so to speak. Because when we forgive, Satan is unseated. And when we forgive, that cord that's tied to us and also the person that we're pointing our finger at, that the suspect, so to speak, that spiritual cord is cut and we're free. And Satan doesn't want us to forgive because he loses power. But it's huge. So this father's blessing, a lot of times, and I'm just thinking, there was a couple of guys that I did this, but for the most part, it's the women because they were so traumatized by that. When their daddies were supposed to be their protectors, when their daddies were supposed to be the guard at the gate for their family, physically protector and spiritually protecting, he wouldn't. So when I'd pass on a father's blessing to these gals, it was so moving and so, I mean, it's a God thing all the way. But they needed to hear it, not from their husbands, but from another man's voice, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So let me just read this. Father's blessing. So, child, close your eyes and listen with your spirit. The word says that your spirit was formed before the foundations of the earth. So your spirit is as old as Abraham's, Moses, and Jacob's. God wanted your spirit in your body and in your family at this time in history. You are not here by accident. God planned for you to be here now. God has a destiny and purpose for your life. Psalms 139 says that all your days were written in his book before one of them came to be. And God has more thoughts about you than grains of sand. Now, I'm not your dad, but I am a dad. So let me stand in for your dad and the authority figures in your life. These are words that you need to hear. That they have maybe never have been able to say or were not around to say. But I encourage you to open your heart to forgive and release your dad as you hear these words. My child, would you forgive me for my inability to show you true love? I wounded you in so many ways, causing you to turn your back on home and move away from love. Would you forgive me for each time that I have failed you? Forgive me for making you feel that you could never please me or were never good enough. There were times when I allowed life to drain me so that I had nothing left to give you. Even when I was there, I wasn't there for you. Please forgive me for not loving you enough, for not telling you enough that I love you. Would you forgive me for my harsh rules and requirements that left you no opinion but to rebel or to feel defeated and crushed? Please forgive me for pushing you into my mold rather than calling you out to be what God has made you to be. Forgive me for all the pain that resulted. Forgive me for not listening to you. Please forgive me for leaving you without a safe place to call home, for turning my back on you and the family and abandoning you. God is not like that, and I misrepresented his love. Please forgive me for the betrayal you experienced through my abuse, through my words, my manipulation, my actions, the sins that I committed against you. Please forgive me. It was not your fault. And I ask your forgiveness for these ways that I have lied to you about God. Please forgive me for failing to show you tenderness. Forgive me for not allowing you to crawl up into my lap, to wrap my arms around you where I could hold you tight when you were scared or hurt. And I ask you for forgiveness for the times I placed parenting responsibilities on your young shoulders, taking away your childhood. My child, I am very sorry for the way I have failed you, for the ways I have hurt you, misrepresented God's love, and added to your pain. Please forgive me. Now I'm going to release this Father's blessing. Now I speak, child, I speak to you a Father's blessing over you. God has called you by your name and speaks your identity to you. Father God has chosen you to be his child, called by his name, adopted into his kingdom, and born into his family to inherit all of his love in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I welcome you as a member of his family, and I bless you to know your identity in him. I'm proud of you, child, and I love you. Father God created you to know his love, to receive it, to share it with others, and I bless you to know this destiny in your heart and soul. You are called to live as a child of God, chosen and loved, forgiven and cleansed, released and set free. Father God speaks his blessings over you now and releases you into the authority and responsibility of manhood or womanhood. Are you willing to accept the promises and the blessings of Almighty God and to do your best to walk in his ways? If yes, may the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Heavenly Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you today and always. Amen and amen. Got me choked up. That's good, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. That's, Let me add something, a caveat to that. Why do we bless? God's original plan was for us to bless, so the blessings would flow to our children. Those same blessings would flow to our grandchildren, great to 1,000 generations. See, blessing is an impartation of identity and destiny through words and actions and touch. I remember Holly. I'd come home, my middle girl, when she was a toddler. Oh, my gosh. Well, all my kids ran to me, you know. But Holly especially, she'd just run and jump, and I'd catch her. And she'd wrap her legs around my waist and kind of call her my little monkey. But did you? But it was really cool. And then sometimes that kids would sit on my feet, and I'm trying, you know, they hold on to my legs, and I'm trying to walk. So I don't know. But so I guess my point is touch was very important. We're all human, and we need hugs once in a while, even tough old guys like me. So through these blessings, through our words, actions, and touch, what blessings do they impart the answers to two key questions, like, why am I here? Who am I? And again, that's a lot of that comes from the daddies to impart that, because, all right, so especially with sons too. Now, my son, there came a time that he was done with Donna's hugs and kisses when he's a teenager, you know? It's like, oh, Mom, come on. Well, that told me that, and I'd always been a part, of course, part of, but that told me it was time for me to step that up, because he was now transitioning into manhood. Okay? So him and I worked on Jeeps. We did welding. We did all kinds of, we built a shed. I mean, just did stuff, you know, and he has thanked me many times for that, because he knows the difference between a 9/16 open-end wrench, you know, and a pipe wrench or whatever. He knows how to read a tape measure. And I know this is silly maybe to some people, but there's kids out there that don't even have a clue how to read a tape measure. I'm sorry, I don't know. It's just me, I guess. They don't need to, but I don't know. But, and then my girls, I think what I did was an example, a model to my girls on how a man is supposed to treat a woman. Let me give you, and I don't mean to be this parenting class, but let me give you parents a clue. Don and I would never, ever argue in front of the kids. If we had a discussion, if we needed to discuss something, we would say, all right, kids, stay here. We're going to be right back. We'd go in the bedroom, shut the door, and we'd discuss it. We wouldn't yell, scream, okay, lower our voice, slower speech, because we figured they'd be at the door trying to listen in. You know what I'm saying? So we would discuss it, and here is the cool thing. Once we were on the same page, we'd leave that room, and our kids knew, here comes the united front. Mm-hmm. And we didn't always say no. You know, one of the girls wanted to go to a friend's house for a sleepover that night or something, you know. Well, we didn't always say no. We knew the parents. Yeah, we can trust them. But if we didn't know the parents, no. You know what I'm saying? We got to protect our kids. And but we didn't always say no, is my point. But they knew there was no discussion. There was no debate. And it was fun. It was fun. But anyway, so we had to stay on the same page in our parenting and discipline, too. And we had to have each other's back. That's the given. Because if a child hears one parent criticize the other one, then that child thinks, now I have the okay to criticize my parents. We promise never to call each other names, and never to yell and scream. Keep control over our emotions, because I'm sorry, when somebody's brain's on fire with anger or emotional pain, you can't talk sense to them. It's like a drunk. Mm-hmm. You can't talk sense to a drunk. The guy can't even walk. Oh, he fixing to go to drive home. You can't even walk. Yeah, I can drive. No, you can't. But it, you know what I'm saying? That stuff kind of blocks the voice of reason. So anyway, I don't know where I'm going off on that, but I just know that what I think is interesting is there's generational blessings. Okay, if I can bless my grandchildren are blessed, my great grandchildren, it flows down. It's generational blessing or curses. All right, it's one or the other. The Lord told me one time. He said it's not real difficult to understand. You're advancing one of two kingdoms by your words or your actions. So we've got to be especially cognizant of the fact of what are we doing with our words and our actions? Are we uplifting? You know, the Bible says curse, or it says bless and not curse. Because what happens when we bless? Angels, I feel angels are released immediately to go be with that person to help them. If I curse, and I don't mean just cussing, I'm saying calling them names or whatever, or talking bad gossip. But if I'm using word curses towards that person, I'm going to tell you, people, Satan has a legal right to release demons to go mess with them. And God told me one time, he said, Les, he said, you got to understand something. You're made in my image. What you speak, you create. Because what I speak, I create. And he said, so your words and your actions are releasing demons. And I said, but you're God. He goes, I know. He said, you're tying my own hands. When you operate in the dark kingdom, he said, you tie my own hands. I said, but you're God. He goes, I know, but I can't break my own rules. And he said, a lot of my Christians are using Satan's weapons expecting righteous results.
Come on.
He said, that will never happen.
Come on.
And I went, oh, my gosh, that was an eye-opener to me.
That's a mic drop moment right there, sir.
Well, I'm just saying what the Father kind of revealed to me. And so I guess part of me, too, says to you people that did not have good parents, they probably didn't know how to parent because they weren't parented. It's not, and I get it. You can blame all day long. You can spend the rest of your life blaming your parents, but that's not going to help you a bit. But you just need to look and ask the Lord to reveal, why did this happen? Where were you when this happened in my life? I don't feel, and be honest and open. God can take it. Say, God, I didn't see you in this situation. You know, this happened to me, and where were you at? You didn't protect me, or, you know, whatever. Just be honest with the Lord. But a lot of times, parents didn't receive blessings from their parents, so they couldn't give what they didn't have. Okay? So much of what we understand is through a filter of rejection. In other words, words are spoken to us, events and situations pop up, and we have this filter of rejection. And I'm going to tell you what, Satan, he's good at his job. He really is. But he likes to put that filter of rejection and self-loathingness, that negative self-talk. Oh, he loves doing that to us. And we just go along with him a lot of times. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, stop agreeing with the enemy. When you agree with the enemy, you empower him. Mm-hmm. You open that door, that window for him to come in even with more force. And so we have the ability and we have the power and the authority through our risen Lord Jesus Christ to shut that window and say, Satan, get behind me. So we have that available. We just a lot of times don't know it or we don't operate in it. So everybody that's listening to me right now, everybody walking the earth, sucking air, we have all experienced emotional pain. Okay? And a lack of, what's the word? Unconditional love. We need to show people conditional love because that's Jesus. Are you kidding me? Jesus showed, that's the ultimate example of unconditional love. Okay? One time my oldest daughter, we got home really, really late one Sunday night. Kids were little. They had school the next day, and Lisa wanted some ice cream, you know, like 11:30. No, Lisa, you're not going to get ice cream. You've had supper, you had dinner, whatever. It's time to go to bed. And she was just tired, just, you know, how traveling. I want ice cream, she started yelling. I said, you're not going to get ice cream right now, honey. It's time for bed. I hate you. And I looked at her, and I just picked her up, you know, and loving on her. Now, my point is, did she hate me?
No.
No, she didn't hate me. Did I show unconditional love when I picked her up and was loving on her and tickling her and kind of getting her mind off the, putting her in bed? Does that make sense? That was unconditional love. I didn't take it to heart. I knew it wasn't personal. She's a little toddler, and she's tired. She needs her sleep. So she was just speaking out of frustration and her you know, when kids get tired, you know how it is. They get a little cranky. But my point is, that was unconditional love. And no matter how hard that is, if we want to turn our kids back to us, then that's something we have to show. Now, and I don't know, I feel like I'm getting off track, but we need to target the behavior, keep the core person intact.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
We don't call the kids names. We don't, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. No, what you did, target the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
What you did was this, and it hurt my feelings, or it made me feel unloved, or disrespect, whatever. We need to kind of bring the feeling that we have to the table when they're old enough. Now, if they're toddlers, they don't understand, but you know what I'm saying. So, because I want them to understand what their actions make people feel. Okay? So we bless, because in that blessing, it protects them from any emotional pain. If you have a scale, you know, blessings or curses, and if that blessing scale is tipped way in its favor, then any emotional pain may be lessened, if that makes sense. So anyway, I'm just saying that God can comfort them, speak their identity and destiny, and I want to partner with God to do that, if that makes sense.
Amen.
So anyway.
Would now be a good time for some prayer requests?
Sure.